Are you ready, kids?
Aye, aye, Captain!
This year, 2026, is our team, Searing Engineering's 20th year being a team.
Being a Valley team, you don't really see or notice the differences between you and other teams until you're at competition. All the parts, all the components we use easily made the robot worth over 10K.
All sort of gizmos. Compared to other teams that we compete against, that is chump change.
Just a reminder to all our listeners, safety is our number one priority.
Welcome to Valley Vibes, your show about culture, arts, and happenings in the Imperial Valley from a youth perspective. I'm Dr. Tom Tackey, the creator and executive producer of Valley Vibes. Today, we feature the Central Union High School robotics team. It is a very popular club at Central that builds robots to compete in high-level competitions. This is a great show, and I hope you enjoy hearing from them.
Hello, my name is Luke Caesar, and I am the president of the CUHS Robotics Club. Today, we will be sharing some of our stories from last year's competition.
Hello, my name is Soleil. I'm the vice president, and I've also been in the wiring and designing subgroups.
Hello, my name is Sammy. I'm an alumni, and I used to work in the wiring subgroup.
Hello, my name is Natalie, and I'm an alumni of the team, and I was a former member of the wiring subgroup as well as the pit design.
Hello, my name is Julian. I was in charge of design last year, anything that has to deal with robot design, and I continue to do that this year, and I am a senior.
Hello, my name is Isai Rizzuto. I am a part of the manufacturing subgroup where we basically build the robot, and I'm also a senior.
Hello, my name is Juan Pablo Magallanes. I'm in the construction subgroup, and we basically build the field for the robot, and I'm a senior as well.
And that is our group for today. So, our official team name is Searing Engineering. Our team number is 1972. We compete at the San Diego... Last year, we competed at the San Diego Regional Competition. So we're going to go over a bit of how our year went last year, along with fun events, how the competition went, our placing, stuff like that. So before that, we are going to get into a little more detail about what each subgroup and member did.
So to describe first a little more, it is a high school organization that focuses on building robots that perform specific tasks in order to compete against other high schools.
So a little more about our club, instead of just first as a program, is we have a lot of really fun traditions that kind of make robotics feel a little more comforting, like making a house feel like a home. So some of those traditions are nicknames. Mine is Punky Brewster. I don't know if anyone else wants to tag in on there.
Oh, mine is Goku.
My name is East Side because my name sounds like East Side.
I don't really remember how I got my nickname. My name is Gilbert Grape. I think it's from the movie.
I remember your nickname. So, Julian, you got your nickname Gilbert because Ortiz's nephew, Santos, kept on calling you Gilbert because he didn't know your name. He said you looked like a Gilbert, and then everyone just started calling you Gilbert.
I'm just going to take that as that's what happened. It sounds like that's what happened, so we'll go with that.
My nickname is Sammy.
And my nickname is Remy because Remy the Rat, because I said my nickname used to be Rhett, and he said it was too crass.
And then my nickname is Skywalker because my first name's Luke, so of course it is.
So that's just like one of the traditions. Another one really fun tradition is the all-nighter, which is the big rager, like the big talk about robotics. It's one of those events that people really look forward to, especially when build season starts in the spring.
So the all-nighter, we do it around the second semester of school, and it is from 3 p.m. to 3 p.m. the next day, usually 3 p.m. on a Friday to 3 p.m. next day on Saturday.
It's not from 3 p.m. It's from 3 p.m. on a school day, like on a Friday after school, to 8 a.m. the next day. We don't stay until 3 p.m. We're already all dead by that time.
That's very true.
And usually what happens during those nights is that students, they stay up and we're manufacturing a bunch of parts for the robot. And we're working this entire time. And anybody that falls asleep is victim to Mr. Garcia or JP's face drawings.
And then you can't forget that everyone's on a sugar rush. So everyone's pretty energetic until like 6 in the morning when they all crash.
The snacks are plentiful. But trust me, when we get too many kids on like 5 packs of powdered donuts, it gets messy, but it's fun.
Yeah, we rely a lot on parent donations, so we are grateful that we have a lot of parents that donate food, whether it's like packs of ramen or, you know, Chinese food or powdered donuts or whatever. We are very plentiful in having snacks all the time.
Actually, my favorite part is the Chinese food that we get every single year, thanks to my mom.
Yeah, some context. It is both Sammy and JP's mother who brings the Chinese food for us to survive the night. It is a lifesaver.
And last year, just for funsies, I decided to bring an air fryer so that people could heat up like whatever pizza or food that they brought. So we just had snacks throughout the night. And yeah.
So a little more into what our club is. This year, 2026 is our team, Searing Engineering's 20th year being a team.
Yay!
Currently, we have two advisors. We have Mr. Ortiz, the engineering teacher here at Central, and we have JP Garcia, or Mr. Garcia, who is a math teacher here at Central. Mr. Garcia has been running the robotics club for most of those 20 years. And then just recently, in the past 4, Mr. Ortiz has picked it up and has been rolling with it ever since. So a little bit about how our club is structured is that we have subgroups. We have, I believe, 5 or 6 subgroups. We have wiring, design, coding, construction, manufacturing, and drive team. We have a team that drives the robot specifically. There are those subgroups, and then there is our main council. So start of the year, we always have our yearly elections where we swore in our new council for the year. And that consists of just regular president, vice president, treasurer, secretary, and a PR leader. A small group of 5 that works together to try to keep the year going smoothly. So just jumping straight into it, we are going to switch over to our wiring subgroup, since today we do have 3 members of this podcast are a part of that subgroup. So this will be a fun segment.
Yay. Okay, so the wiring, it has 2 separate systems. We work with the pneumatics, and then we also work with the
actual wiring
part. We haven't used pneumatics a lot because it has to do with air pressure.
It's just
and
not the
motor. It's very hard when there's leaks and you have to go near the robot to feel where the air is coming out.
Mm-hmm.
We only use pneumatics 1 year. And the wiring portion, we have a bunch of components that come from CTR and Andymark and Rev Robotics. You
want to
add, Natalie?
So I was one of the co-managers along with Sammy for the wiring team. And at the beginning of the year, those who choose to be a part of the wiring team are usually separated in between two groups, depending on how many people decide to join. And we have about two usually like scrap robots mm-hmm. that we use to help teach the new members on everything from how to wire management, and just everything to know about how it works with the robot, along with working with other teams to ensure that the wires are in the right place and mm-hmm. that they power the system correctly.
Yep.
So a little bit about that. We do start the year off, mainly our first semester, with teaching the new students. Usually we have a giant influx of freshmen.
Like
almost
a crazy amount. I think we had 80 members on one of our thing.
During that start of the year, we have maybe like sometimes it can get up to 80 members. Slowly it declines, but that group in the beginning, it's a lot.
It's scary. Yeah. The freshmen are scary.
It is a ginormous group, at least here at Central. Last year, we were the biggest club on campus.
Absolutely.
By almost double. So a little bit about the teaching. Every subgroup does teach their students at least some of the basic skills. So as we just heard, they went over some of the basic teachings of wiring or how they taught the wiring students. With some of the other subgroups that require power tools in that sort of area, they do have some safety certification areas that they do have to practice at the start of the year for new students. For design and coding, of course, there are those specific programming and designing websites that have to be learned. So hopefully a plan for this year is to get more in touch with the teachers that teach those programs, so that will make our lives just a little bit easier. So one issue that we had this year is we did not have a lot of coding students, that were proficient enough to be able to help us work on the robot. Specifically last year, we had only one student. He was a senior. His mm-hmm. name was Diego Valdez. He was our savior for so many things. I wish good on him, because he really struggled last year with being the only coder.
The thing about this is that Central offers a computer science program, including an AP computer science program, and that is awesome. Students really excel in that. However, FIRST Robotics is muy silly, and the coding is pretty different. So even some of the most proficient students in these coding programs still might find the FIRST Robotics coding very difficult. So as Luke was saying, like, Diego, we were praising Diego for all of his effort last year, and you can go ahead, Julian.
I'd just like to say a shout out to Diego. I know he had a long year. We thank you for your efforts.
Yes. If he's listening right now.
He's probably not.
The other part was that last year we had a whole different
system.
A whole different drive base. And so we had a tank drive base before, and then last year we got a swerve drive. And so the programming in that was
a lot more intensive.
Yeah, it's very different. And since last year was our first year trying it, it mm-hmm. was very hard for Diego to figure everything out by himself.
And one of the mistakes we made was not starting during the summer. So instead of trying to learn it over the summer, try and get familiar with it, even like before season started, we decided to start working on it, building the base, learning how to code it, learn how to wire it, during the time that we were also trying to teach other students all the old things with the old mm-hmm. equipment. So it became really difficult to balance both, and it required a lot of long, intensive work hours after school.
Yep.
Despite all the warnings that every other team told us before trying to upgrade to this new system, we did not listen, and we definitely saw the consequences.
I wouldn't say we didn't listen. It was more of like a lack of resources and time, but go ahead.
It's because everything was so expensive and gone when we actually tried to buy it. And Ortiz was like, okay, we'll buy it now. And everything was gone.
Yep.
Yeah, one thing about robotics is that it's so competitive here in the U.S. that if you don't order your things in time, trust me, you won't get them for...
the next month.
Yeah, for the next month. So that's a big thing for us, ordering on time.
And it is expensive. It is expensive. So expensive. Last year's robot was, what, over $10,000? All the parts, all the components we used easily made the robot worth over $10,000.
Just the wheels.
Sorry. I was yelling across the room. Just the wheels alone were like, what, $3,000?
Oh, yeah.
And it's why we have to do a lot of fundraising, too. Uh-huh.
So speaking of fundraising and just the costs of a robot, I believe we did the math. Our last year's robot did cost around $15,000. On average, per year, the last 3 years, we have fundraised about $20,000, maybe a little less, maybe a little more, but we have in the ballpark of $20,000. And compared to other teams that we compete against, that is chump change.
Yeah.
And that is nothing. So that's a big component.
Trust me, these San Diego teams that we go and compete against, you look at their sponsors on the robot. They're sponsored by major companies like NASA.
Lockheed Martin.
All these crazy companies. And then you look on their sponsorship page, like $1 million raised. And we look at our funds, we're like, we got $20,000, guys.
Which on the campus is a lot, right?
I remember there was this one team they raised up like about $3 million.
It was a Hawaiian team.
It was a Hawaiian team, and they went to like almost like every single competition, I swear.
Yeah.
And they like won like three of them when they went to ours. It was like,
and then you have to remember that each competition cost about $6,000 just to go and compete. So you're not only paying just for registration, you're paying for your hotel, how many of your kids you want to take, the food, all your expenses, your transportation. All of that stuff. And so it really does add up in the end.
Something to keep in mind with these competitions is that it's nationwide. It is international, but most of the competitions are held in the United States. Mm-hmm. And they're held across the United States on the East Coast, West Coast, the South. And I believe that year it was the actual like championship was held in Texas or something.
Yeah. Yes.
And so these kids once a week, twice a week are going to different places. I'm sure they split them up in groups, but the school that they're from or the group that they're from is putting a lot of money into traveling. Go ahead.
So the cool thing, the thing that makes our club pretty cool, I enjoy the fact that we do only go to one competition, at least last year. So it kind of makes the experience a lot more unique. Whereas you hear all these other teams, as mentioned before, they're going to this competition, then this competition. Honestly, it seems pretty stressful. Yeah. But going to this one competition alone, it's just a lot of fun. You look forward to it. Mm-hmm. You don't have to worry about, like, honestly, you don't feel like you have to worry about much after that. You kind of just go there and experience it.
Mm-hmm. Being a Valley team, you don't really see or notice the differences between you and other teams until you're at competition, and you see the difference in not only team structure but in their funding, in the way they create robots and how much they work and who works. A lot of teams are led by their advisors. Some have up to like 10 advisors or alumni that come back to help.
More like 20 NASA engineers.
Yeah, there are teams that actually get custom parts from NASA, actually. So, but I feel like that makes our team more special because we are pretty much a completely student-led club. Yes. We work all the machines ourselves. We design the robots ourselves. Our advisors are there to help us. They're always there to support us. But we do a lot of the work on our own, and we are very proud of it.
Yeah.
Hey, Imperial Valley High School students, do you have a segment or full episode you'd like to have on Valley Vibes? Email us at imperialvalleyvibes@gmail.com. That's imperialvalleyvibes@gmail.com. We can set up a time to record with you either virtually or in person, so reach out to us with your ideas and let's get you on this show.
So, for most listeners listening to this podcast right now, you're probably in the Imperial Valley, since this will be playing on a beautiful Sunday afternoon. Hopefully it's beautiful. But in the Valley, we have quite a few teams for our area. So, of course, we are the Central team. We also have, yes, Searing Engineering. We also have the Imperial team, which is
Tigerbotics.
And then we have the Calexico team, which is the
Unimatics.
Unimatics.
Unimatics is Unimatics.
Got it. In the past, there has been a Hopeville team, which did...
The Future Dinos,
which did just come back this last year. Alongside the Future Dinos coming back this year, we also had Calipatria start up their team, which I'm not too sure what the Calipatria team is.
I think it was Buzz Fusion.
Buzz Fusion.
And then we also had Brawly as well. They were the Robocats.
So... So most teams, almost every small city in the valley has a team.
Now we do.
So going back into our subgroup discussion, we're going to switch over to me and Julian. We are both part of the design subgroup. We use a program called Fusion 360 that is primarily taught by Mr. Ortiz, the engineering teacher here at Central. And yeah.
One thing I like to say about design, you've heard all these other subgroups, oh, we get to use wires. No, it's just nice computer work all day. Yippee. But it's basically become my life in robotics, but I enjoy it a lot. So design essentially, well, it's kind of what it sounds like. You are designing the robot in the subgroup. So as a prerequisite, we were hoping to get a lot of students from our instructors... engineering class. Ms. Ortiz teaches PLTW engineering here at Central.
Which is Project Lead the Way.
You learn the basics of Fusion and 3D modeling on there. So all those skills are very helpful when it goes into design because that's basically all it is. You're making 3D models on a computer and you're turning that into something in real life. As the year starts, we basically just get together. We learn the basics if you aren't familiar already.
And if you are familiar.
Right. If you are familiar, then it's something. It's nothing new for you. But the most fun part about it, you have first say into like what is being built. Which I'm going to be completely honest, sometimes it's not an exactly fun thing because trust me, you hear everybody's opinion when it comes to it. I have a lot of faces looking at me right now, giving me this inquisitive look, and I understand.
So I am also part of the design team, and I will admit that the design team has a lot of say in a lot of very big decisions about how the robot is going to work.
I am a robot. I am a robot. I am a robot, and I like to dance.
And the design team can get dramatic at times because all of the veteran members that have been here for multiple years really want to get their idea out there and make sure it is heard and have the best chance to actually have it become what a robot is.
Right. So at the beginning of every season, just for context, our season for FRC starts in January. Every year on the first Saturday of the month, they release the game for each year. That's what we call it. Kickoff. It's basically just they release all the game details of what the objective is this year. The objective changes every year, so every year you're going to have a new robot design. Obviously, you can still like use some stuff like the drive base, but other than that, entire new systems need to be designed for every robot. So, yeah, you do, as a design manager, it is a lot of stress sometimes having to hear all these opinions, trying to composite all these ideas together and come up with something that everybody is, like, working for.
One thing that can kind of suck a little bit about our team is that because we don't have as many resources as other teams might have, we don't have the privilege of keeping previous year's robots intact. So up until like very recently, like last year, we would get the previous year's robots to reuse old parts, like old wiring components, or maybe like we didn't have that kind of money to buy new parts every year and maintain the robot. So we only have last year's robot or like the year before. Every other robot has been like completely gutted. Like there's nothing left.
Funny enough, the one that is still intact is the very first one that has ever been made by the club. So 20 years ago, just about.
Oh, yeah.
We have the very first one, and then we have the one that we competed with just this last year and the year before that. So we have about 3 robots. Mm-hmm. Along, as Julian was saying, about the new components, every couple years, wiring gets entirely new setups of all sort of gizmos that I don't even understand some of the new stuff, but...
Okay. The reason why we have to get new components is because it's very dangerous to reuse the components that you used 1 year because they get used and abused.
And exploded.
Smoke, magic smoke. Mm-hmm. And... Actually, this one of the struggles last year was that we had, well, the new drive bays, but we also had different motors. And with the different motors come different motor controls, which the...
Right.
That
so
controls
let's,
the motors.
Let's talk about, I forgot, how many motor controllers you guys...
16
motor controllers. 16 motor controllers. Every year, we get a set amount of motor controllers and... Last year, I don't know what happened, but there was a lot of fun times with that.
This is kind of a group thing for sure. But
the drive base itself is 8 alone.
Yeah.
So we already started with the high number because the drive base itself has 8 motor controls just to get the drive base moving.
That was actually a very fun design and wiring conversation because... Well, you're the expert of a subgroup, and sometimes the other people designing the robot don't know what goes into every single motor. So that was a very fun time.
Oh, yes. Many conversations with you guys about that.
Communication is very, very important between subgroups because you want to make sure that the design is very cohesive and you can, you know, fit all the motor controls, fit all the parts needed along with the actual design, or else you're going to end up with a robot that doesn't have enough space for any of the wiring components.
And a little bit more context for people that don't know, like motor controls and things like that. Each component that's rotating, including the wheels, has a motor. And the motor doesn't have any, like, computer systems inside of it. You have to attach another component so that you can actually code the motor appropriately. And for the motor controls, we ordered, like, a bunch of motor controls the summer before the last year's season. And I think... The heat, our good old summer heat, might have fiddled with some of our motor controls, and people are nagging at me to talk, so go for it.
So it all started on a Saturday meeting. It was originally supposed to last until noon, and we were having a little bit of issues with the coding for the motor controls. Two of the wheels were working, two of them weren't, and we could not figure out why. Within the next 3 hours, we had switched out, 4 motor controls. Oh. We switched out 2 motors, and we had to flip the robot and kick out pretty much all the manufacturing that wanted to work on the robot because we were running around in
kick
circles.
Kick-out's playing it nice here.
Anyways.
There was a lot of yelling involved into these things.
The issue is that with the new drive base, the one wheel... has to have 2 motors, right? And the 2 motors that are on that wheel weren't working. But the 2 motors, they control different things on the...
Rotation
and speed. And we couldn't figure out which one wasn't working. And our programmer, God bless Diego, oh my gosh, it was a fun time.
Yep.
So So we are talking a bunch about the technical gobbledygook of wiring and all the very technical stuff that we do here. But there is also some aspects that are not so technical but are still essential to the workings of the club. I would like to switch it over to our construction manager, JP, here. And he's going to talk about how his group works along with the field they build.
Okay, so what we do is basically, at the start of the year, we just, like, I certify everyone with all the tools because construction is really about, using the power tools and putting together a design that's already built, basically, and improvising. So what I do is, thank you, Mr. Mayo. Mr. Mayo, at the start of the year, usually, like, lets us go to his classroom and he teaches us a majority of the tools we're going to use. So then we can just teach those safety precautions to the students. So that's what I do at the beginning of the year, make sure everybody knows what they have to do.
For context, Mr. Mayo is the central construction teacher who has definitely helped our club a lot with teaching students just the basic uses of power tools.
And safety precautions. I think they said that.
Yeah, that's a really big thing because, like Wiring had said already, we want to make sure everyone's safe so yeah. No one cuts a finger off, everyone knows what they're doing. And I go individually with everyone, make sure everyone knows how to use every single tool. I've had a student, I had an underclassman who almost like cut off his finger because he didn't use one well.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Just a reminder to all our listeners, safety is our number one priority. Please just remember that. We're trying to be safe out here.
Yeah, it's a thing.
Along with being the president of the club, I am also our main safety manager, so I get to be like the angry grandpa screaming at everybody about wearing their safety equipment and goggles. Any safety precaution. I also do that at competition. But so that was – do you want to talk about your workings on the field and what you do with that?
When the competition actually arrives, we get like a whole manual on every individual part and how like – how it's made, like the measurements and everything. The only problem with that is they normally change it like throughout the year. Like they give you the initial measurements and then sometimes they're not right and they change it like mid-year. So that's like one of the annoying parts. But still, what we mainly do, we just like look at the list we need. We put it on the shopping list. We tell them, oh, can you get this up? They normally order for us. And since it's like all in Home Depot, it's like arrives faster than all the robot parts.
Yeah.
We normally try to get it done within like 2 weeks after the kickoff. That's our goal. So like everyone has like a visual of how the competition is going to look. And we try to like set half of the field up. Because normally Imperial sets up the other half. And then sometimes we have like games.
Yeah.
So context on kickoff, that is when the game for the year is announced. I know we talked about it earlier, but just a reminder because new vocabulary on this podcast. So JP and his team, their main focus is making a replica of what we're going to actually be playing on, but out of wood, because usually competitions are pretty fancy and they have very high-tech game pieces that we have to interact with.
Right. I want to build on that a little more this year. Earlier this year in May, went out to the Imperial Valley Mall. And we actually were able to take a spot in Forever 21. We rented out a spot. And with the construction pieces that we've made, us and Imperial, as well as some other teams, we set up a practice field in the mall. And we were actually showcasing our robots there for the entire month of May.
Of May, yes.
So I thought that was a great achievement just by all the teams construction-wise. It was a great field.
So that was our biggest publicity event last year was the whole month of May. We were at the mall set up, and it was open to the public. And we had a bunch of interaction with people, and we were there almost every weekend of May.
Oh, yeah. I love having Auntie Anne's just at my disposal every Saturday. My pockets were running dry. I need to get a job after that.
So ending off with our final two groups, Bunch in the One, in a way. We have Isai, who is our manufacturing manager, along with he was a main component on a drive team. He was one of our main drivers. So he's going to go into depth about what he and his team does.
Yeah, so a little going back on what everyone said about safety being first, that's a lie. Safety second. Safety second. Nah, no, we're joking. I'm joking. It's, we always do like try to be safe, especially because manufacturing, you're working with big machines that could easily hurt you and possibly kill you if you're not like safe or anything. So that's one of the, our main concerns is that we always want to be safe. And for manufacturing, the main thing you're really doing is building the robot. Like, all, you're working with all the metal parts, everything. You're working with bolts and nuts to put the robot actually together, like the exoskeleton. So that way you can give it to the other subgroups, like wiring and coding, so they have something to work with and go based off of. And then manufacturing is also where we prototype ideas at the start of the year in January, like the first 2 weeks. As well as, what else do we do? We also, well, teaching new freshmen or like lower classmen, because a lot of the, our first newbies are freshmen or sophomores. We hardly get any older people.
Yeah, that is very true. Similar to construction, manufacturing has to deal with a lot of teaching power tools. We also have Mr. Mayo help out with that. But we get an influx of these freshmen, and a lot of them have never touched a power tool in their lives. So that's a fun challenge that we get to deal with.
Yeah, like robotics is very new to them. Like they've never seen anything like this in high school, in like middle school or anything. It's completely new. Like when I was a freshman, I was like, wow, that's so cool. Like I want to do that. And then now I'm a senior finally being able to do that. But another thing that's kind of bad with manufacturing is people hear, I want to build the robot. So, or that's what they think. So then you have almost everyone in robotics going towards manufacturing. And that's like the biggest group in the beginning of the year. Yeah, there's definitely always like 40 kids who want to do that one thing. But in the beginning of the year, there's nothing really to build. Right. So it just kind of dies down by the time January hits. And we're stuck with like 20 members. Some of them just mess around. And then there's like 10 who actually do work.
Yeah, it's with the big numbers, it is hard to get a task for absolutely everybody to be working constantly.
Yeah, because everyone wants to do something, but there's not enough work to go around.
It is. It's difficult with a big club, but hopefully we'll get better with that as years go on. So I think we ended off really quickly, or the end of our show will be a quick little segment of how our actual competition went, how we did there. We compete at the San Diego competition in, that is hosted at UCSD. We have been going there for quite a long time, at least the last 4 years for sure we've gone there. So we're going to go around and we're going to give a little snippet about how everyone's experience at competition was along with our statistics.
I have not experienced that much pain and anguish in a long time. It is a great and amazing experience. However, it is very stressful. You work in a 10 by 10 box, basically. You have a little pit with like all your materials and all your like stuff, which is where you put your robot in between matches. And it's it can get very crowded, especially when there's too many people within the pit and the robot isn't working. And you have to call other teams to help code, and it takes three teams to figure out what is wrong with your code, and they all give up, and you have to call the professionals in their vests and hard hats to come over and figure out what is wrong.
Mm-hmm. I'd also like to add, just back to the funds earlier, we were saying that we have a nice $20,000, which is pretty good for us, but then you see these other teams and their pits, they have like straight up giant, it looks like LED signs. They have these giant cabinets, they have these giant, like, just everything. And we're like, hey, wow, that's pretty nice. We got a nice folding table, we got a canopy. And I'm like, hey, that's pretty nice.
Hey, we have two shelves.
Yeah. It's a great experience, and I think it helps a lot with building a community and also with teamwork. Mm-hmm. It was just very unfortunate that the robot that we came to competition with was not complete because of time constraints and various issues like working with all new components. And
it can be very discouraging looking at other teams, especially that have a lot more money and a lot more resources, and they don't realize it. They can be a bit ignorant, and they make offhand comments about the team and the robot and everything about us, and it can be a little much sometimes, but it's usually not from a bad place.
Yeah. And on a more positive note, that's not always what you're experiencing. It's usually when you're in the pit for a very long time and you've been dealing with a lot of that stress for a long time that you start to feel those emotions. But there's a lot of cooler things that you see at robotics, like there's a little pin culture where all of the teams design their own pins and logos, and that happens with all sorts of things in their uniforms. So it can be super fun as well.
Yeah, and then in the stands as well, watching the games, it could be cool the first day, but like as you go on, it's kind of repetitive, so you get bored really fast. But the nice thing about being bored there is that you can go into the pits as a visitor and go watch and see other teams from outside and see how their work ethic is and how they communicate with each other, and you can get inspiration from those teams to help you become like a better team.
And that is about time for us. We thank you very much for listening to our very special episode of this podcast for our CUHS robotics team. I hope you have a great rest of your Sunday. Have a good day.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of Valley Vibes. You can find all our past episodes on Spartan Sound Productions YouTube channel. And starting for season 3, we are now also on Spotify.
This program was produced and brought to you by Spartan Sound Productions. Special thanks to our guests Luke, Soleil, Sammy, Natalie, Julian, Isai, and Juan Pablo from the COHS Robotics team. Thanks also to Dr. Thomas Tackey, creator and executive producer of Spartan Sound Productions, the administration of Central Union High School, Mr. Javier Frimbres, and Power 98 for hosting us, and to you, the listeners.